There's a whole lot of things that are just we just don't have available to us.
The U.S. president-elect on President Trump's refusal to concede and transition. This is Friday, November 20th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, a new poll shows half of Republicans believe Trump did win the election. Just how bad is the pandemic in the United States? We explore credible evidence that Australian troops murdered Afghan people while there. Rubber duckies are a new symbol of Thailand protest. That and more on today's VOA Asia. In a virtual event with frontline healthcare workers Wednesday, President-elect Joe Biden warned that his team is going to be behind by weeks or months in the country's pandemic planning unless the Trump administration stops blocking the transition process. White House correspondent Patsy Wiedekoswara has the story.
President-elect Joe Biden slammed President Donald Trump, who refuses to concede that he lost the election, denying Biden a smooth transition that would include sharing information about the pandemic.
There's a whole lot of things that are we just don't have available to us, which unless it's made available soon, we're going to be behind by weeks or months being able to put together the whole initiative relating to the biggest promise we have with two drug companies coming along and finding 95% effectiveness efficiency in the vaccines, which is
during a virtual event Wednesday, Biden heard testimonies from health workers on the front line of the battle against the pandemic.
I'm sorry, I'm so emotional.
No,
it's just
you got me emotional.
Earlier this week, Biden warned that more Americans may die from the virus if the transition is further delayed. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is touting achievements in vaccines after U.S. pharmaceutical companies Moderna and Pfizer reported initial results showing their vaccines to be over 90% effective. U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
By the end of December, we expect to have about 40 million doses of these two vaccines available for distribution, pending FDA authorization, enough to vaccinate about 20 million of our most vulnerable Americans.
Despite encouraging vaccine news, Biden is facing an uphill battle when he is inaugurated in January. Catherine Baker is a health economist and dean of the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy.
I think the incoming administration is going to face a lot of challenges in terms of getting people to cooperate with best practices for public health while everyone is focused on exciting news about a new vaccine. In the best case scenario, it's going to be months and months before a vaccine is manufactured and distributed and administered to a critical mass of the population.
The Trump campaign continues to mount legal challenges in several states, including the latest demand of a partial recount in the state of Wisconsin, which Biden won. Patsy Wiedekoswara, VOA News.
A new poll is out that shows about half of U.S. Republican voters believe the claims of President Trump that he rightfully won his re-election contest 2 weeks ago over his Democratic challenger, President-elect Joe Biden. A new Reuters Ipsos opinion poll of more than 1,300 people released Wednesday showed that 73% agreed that Biden won, 5% thought Trump had. However, Republicans were skeptical of the outcome when specifically asked whether Biden had rightfully won. 52% of Republicans said Trump had rightfully won, while only 29% said that Biden had done so. We invite you to read more on our top stories by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find now at voanews.com. The White House is mum on a Trump meeting with an Indonesian minister. Reports say internal woes are thwarting China's global ambitions. Samoa's leader appeals for calm after the first COVID case there. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan met with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani on his first official visit to Kabul Thursday. Indian police say four suspected rebels are killed in Kashmir. Canada on Wednesday identified state-sponsored programs in China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea as major cybercrime threats for the first time. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Pre-election polls suggested Joe Biden would be a runaway winner of the presidential contest and that Democrats would win a majority in the U.S. Senate. VOA Steve Reddish examines how and why many of those polls missed.
Frank Luntz is a noted Republican pollster. Before Election Day, he told Fox News a polling error like 2016 would endanger his business.
If Donald Trump is right and these pollsters are wrong about this race, then people like me are going to have to find a new profession.
Although substantial, Joe Biden's victory was not a landslide. Democrats registered meager Senate gains and lost House seats. Luntz said the election results were devastating for the polling industry.
There certainly was striking polling error.
Joseph Campbell is a communications professor at American University and author of a book about famous polling errors.
The polls indicated to us, the American public at large, that there was going to be a blue wave election, that Joe Biden would sweep easily, comfortably into the White House and bring along with him a Senate majority of some size, as well as an enhanced House of Representatives majority. And none of that really happened.
Bill Schneider is a political analyst and professor of policy and government at George Mason University.
What the polling did was it stirred a lot of Trump voters who were very enthusiastic, but don't necessarily are not, they're not really habitual voters. They're working class white guys who don't vote in huge numbers. It got them angry and it moved them to go out and vote to save the president and to save the Republican Party.
Every poll has a margin of error. Figuring out who is going to vote is key to keeping that margin small.
We want, as a pollster, to weed out, to remove from your sample those voters who say, yeah, I'm going to vote, but actually are not going to vote. And there are different ways in which pollsters do this, and there are different screening devices, as they're called, by which to weed out those non-likely voters.
There is a reason that polling organizations say their surveys are just a snapshot in time.
They're very useful for understanding what's happening politically. They're very poor at predicting what's going to happen next because people change, people respond. They respond to the polls.
While there may be a reckoning ahead for the industry, polls are here to stay. So entrenched that polling has already started for 2024. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, family members of some of the 12 Hong Kong people arrested by China at sea in August said on Thursday they've received their first letters from them, but they're suspicious of the praise for how well they have been treated in prison. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The United States reached a sobering milestone Wednesday in the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The confirmed death toll surpassed 250,000 as the virus rages at an unrelenting pace. The number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in the U.S. has doubled in the past month and set new records every day this week. Dr. William Schaffner, an infectious disease physician at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine and current medical director with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, discusses the reality of the situation in the United States with VOA's Lori London.
I think we're rivaling Europe at the present time, and the same thing is happening on both sides of the Great Atlantic. Namely, people are going out to group events, not paying attention to social distancing and not wearing masks. They wish to return to the old normal, and there's COVID fatigue out there, and those grouped events are accelerated. The virus is spreading among people who attend the group event, and then they go home, and the virus spreads further at home, and thus the virus keep spreading, really, in a rather uncontrolled fashion now.
Do you see this getting worse with the holidays, with the colder weather in the coming months, regardless of any hope of a rapid vaccine?
Well, I'm very worried that the holidays here in the United States will accelerate this further because people will gather together and behave the way they've always done. That's normal. But it's a group event. People will be giving thanks and be giving the virus at the same time, I'm afraid. And we'll spend more time indoors because it's cooler and indeed will get cold. And once again, that's an environment conducive to spreading the virus. We'll wait for a vaccine, and we may indeed start vaccinating toward the end of the year, and certainly in the beginning of the year, everything going well. But it will take months and months and months before the frequency of the vaccination out in the population will affect the transmission of this virus.
Do you see this pretty much out of control at this point in time?
I think it is out of control at present and will continue to be out of control in the foreseeable future. Now, governors around the country are instituting restrictions of one sort or another in an attempt to curtail spread, and some of those may indeed have some local impact. We can only hope. Several of us are imploring our governor to put in a statewide mask mandate at the present time. We'll see if we have any effect. Not yet. So I think we're in a quite perilous situation. This has been called the greatest public health hazard to affect the United States since the 1918 monstrous influenza pandemic. I think that's true. I don't believe that's an exaggeration.
Do you think that by the time a new president is sworn in on January 20th, it's not like he's just going to suddenly be able to get it under control at that point?
With a potentially different approach or new policies?
There'll be nothing sudden about this. This will be like turning the proverbial ocean liner, slow and persistent to turn things around. Some of the attitudes about mask wearing and notions about the pandemic are so baked in and have such a political veneer that those attitudes are very, very hard to change.
And what about these two potential vaccines that we've been hearing about coming out? How quickly, even though we're hearing, like you just said, maybe some of them will start being given at the end of December, what's the realistic timeline on all of this? And can we really believe they're that effective?
I do believe we can believe they are that effective. It seemed from the beginning that both vaccines were going to be over 90% effective once the data started to come in. And that made all of us smile. Effectiveness at that level had not been anticipated. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still a long tunnel. We'll have to do a lot of work to get there. I do think that by the end of the year, certainly the beginning of January, we ought to be able to start vaccinating. We'll give it first to healthcare providers who are taking direct care of COVID patients, people who work in nursing homes, emergency medical technicians, and those kinds of folks, the first responders. And then we'll open it up gradually to others. Over time, there will be a prioritization. We can't vaccinate everybody in a week and a half, and everybody will have to stay tuned when it comes their time to be vaccinated. But people will have to be convinced. There's a lot of skepticism about these vaccines, and I think the data are going to be so solid. And my prediction is those vaccines will be supported by medical and public health professions, and that will reassure the average person and will begin to persuade them to get vaccinated. Because if we and who wear white coats get ourselves and our families vaccinated, that ought to say something.
Absolutely. Do you think there's any sort of realistic timeline that people can think about as far as any semblance of normalcy?
The timeline is going to be long, unfortunately, because it will take a long time to try to vaccinate 330 million people in the United States. I would think that by midsummer, going into the fall, things could get back to some degree of normalcy. And I would hope that next Thanksgiving we'll have near normal family celebrations again.
Dr. William Shafter, an infectious disease physician at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine and the current medical director with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, speaking with VOA's Lori London.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. The United States on Thursday slapped sanctions on two companies it accused of being involved in exporting forced labor from North Korea and warned countries still using workers from the country to send them home. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. A four-year inquiry into Australian Special Forces in Afghanistan has found credible evidence of the murder of 39 prisoners, farmers, and other civilians. The Australian Defence Force released the final report Thursday. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has the story.
19 Australian soldiers are suspected of executing 39 Afghan prisoners and civilians between 2005 and 2016. The war crimes report found junior soldiers were encouraged to shoot prisoners to get their first kill. Army commanders were condemned for allowing criminal behaviour to be conceived, committed and concealed. The inquiry was conducted by the Inspector General of the Australian Defence Force. Over 4 years, it examined 57 incidents of alleged misconduct and heard from hundreds of witnesses. It found that none of the alleged crimes could be discounted as disputable decisions made under pressure in the heat of battle. Australian Defence Force Chief Angus Campbell says the report has uncovered a shameful record of a warrior culture by some troops.
Today, the Australian Defence Force is rightly held to account for allegations of grave misconduct by some members of our Special Forces community on operations in Afghanistan. To the people of Afghanistan, on behalf of the Australian Defence Force, I sincerely and unreservedly apologise for any wrongdoing by Australian soldiers. And to the people of Australia, I am sincerely sorry for any wrongdoing by members of the Australian Defence Force.
The war crimes report published Thursday is heavily redacted. The full classified documents will remain secret. Its allegations will be investigated by Australian police and federal prosecutors. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has said previously that Australia had to confront brutal truths about the actions of some of its soldiers. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. Giant inflatable pool ducks were among Thai protesters Wednesday as thousands rallied outside police headquarters in the capital of Bangkok. Libby Hogan has more.
An unusual mascot has emerged on the front line of Thailand's protests this week. Giant inflatable pool ducks were part of the armour of choice for demonstrators. They were used as shields against water cannons employed by police. 18-year-old protester known as Wim described the spontaneous origin of the ducks.
The ducks are just a toy for kids. If police hadn't fired water cannon and tear gas at us, there wouldn't be a duck shield that could save us. They're like a mascot for the protest now, and it's value for us.
On Tuesday, the ducks first appeared, and on Wednesday, they made a return as protesters splashed paint and sprayed water on the police headquarters in Bangkok. The protests are seeking to remove Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha, a former junta leader, as well as calling for changes to the constitution and curbs on the powers of King Maha Vajiralongkorn. Prayut said on Thursday that all laws would be used against protesters who break them, without specifying whether this would include Article 112, which forbids insulting the monarchy. Tuesday saw Thailand's most violent protests yet since its new youth-led protest began in July. Tear gas was fired and over 50 people were injured, including some with gunshot wounds. The police have denied that they opened fire with live ammunition or rubber bullets and said they were investigating. And protesters say they are planning another event later this month at the Crown Property Bureau over the management of the palace fortune, valued at tens of billions of dollars. The king has taken the management of the fortune into his personal control. The royal palace has made no comment since the protests began.
That was Reuters correspondent Libby Hogan. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration lifted a flight ban on Boeing's 737 MAX Wednesday, drawing criticism from families of the plane's crash victims, who say more needs to be done to hold the plane maker to account. Flora Bradley Watson has more.
The families of the victims of the Boeing 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia have denounced the U.S. regulators' decision to unground the plane. 346 people were killed within 5 months in 2018 and 2019 when two MAX planes crashed in Indonesia and Ethiopia. Michael Stumo lost his 24-year-old daughter Samia in the Ethiopian crash and believes little has been done to ensure the plane's safety.
My family and the crash families are very upset that this plane is going back in the air. We don't have a final crash report from the Ethiopian authorities. They haven't addressed the inherent instability of this aircraft, which is because of its actual configuration.
After nearly 2 years of scrutiny, the FAA gave Boeing its approval, but will now demand new pilot training and software upgrades to deal with a stall prevention system called MCAS, which in both crashes repeatedly pushed down the jet's nose as pilots struggled to regain control. Brittany Riffle's husband, Melvin, was another victim of the Ethiopian plane crash. She accuses Boeing of putting profits before safety and is urging people to avoid the planes.
We're putting our voice out there about Boeing and the FAA and their safety culture and how they put profits before human safety.
Boeing is facing around 100 lawsuits by families of 157 victims of the Ethiopian Airlines crash. The company has argued in court that because the aircraft was certified by U.S. regulators, it is immune from liability.
Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson reporting. We continue on VOA Asia. Despite a raging pandemic, some mall owners in the United States are going ahead with plans to bring back Santa this year. But visitors will see a lot of precautions, as Mariama Diallo reports.
Malls and retail stores are doing all they can to bring back jolly old Santa and to keep the families who meet him safe from the coronavirus. This year, Santa must wear a face shield and there is no sitting on his lap. Moms say they're still happy to make the trip.
Even though we're in a pandemic, it's important that the kids are still able to be kids and still keep up with the regular traditions.
It was good that we got to see him in person, even if they couldn't sit on his lap.
A Barbie doll.
A Barbie doll.
A unicorn.
An acrylic barrier provides an extra layer of protection, but it sometimes makes it hard to hear each other, says Don Lemmy, one of the Santas.
The experience this year obviously is going to be the glass in front of the harder of hearing for wishes from the children, which are normally soft-spoken to start with. But everybody here seems to be doing a good job as far as keeping their social distancing and respecting everybody's health.
The barrier, which gets cleaned between visits by Santa's helper, is glare-free, so the keepsake picture comes without the camera's flash.
It was the best time I ever had.
I mean, Santa's going to come and get us me a lot of presents.
Yay! Yeah,
Loretta Mercado, a chain store general manager, says the company couldn't go without Santa this year, but it had to be done in a safe manner.
It was very important that we had all the safety features in place, all the social distancing, temperature taking, you know, the wonderful things we have to offer between, you know, Santa Wonderland's shield here and the cleaning that we do between each and every guest.
But not everybody has opted to bring back the tradition. Macy's canceled its in-person visits this year, saying it couldn't provide a safe environment for the more than a quarter million people who normally come to see Santa at its New York flagship store. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.